Welcome to The Scrub Life, a podcast for and about the incredible profession of surgical technology. I'm Chris Blevins, and our mission at The Scrub Life is to educate the public about surgical technology. Each episode dives into the wonderful world of surgery, where we inform and hopefully entertain our listeners while interviewing amazing individuals within the field and presenting the hot topics everyone wants to know more about. We've now partnered with the Association of Surgical Technologists to help us expand our conversations, bolster our engagement, and bring further awareness to the surgical technology profession. CSTs are an integral part of the sterile team that cares for patients in the operating room. Learn more about this exciting field, the immense effort that goes into educating future CSTs, and how you too can become a ninja of the OR. Now, without further ado, here's the latest episode of the Scrub Life Podcast. All right. Hey, everybody. Very freaking cool episode today.
Definitely.
Definitely. Because yes. Not only are we celebrating Halloween, but I have my main squeeze. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
All right. Stephanie Austin is here with me.
Yes.
And we've got a really big treat for you that's caused a little bit of goosebumps.
Oh,
some
yeah.
Shivers. Definitely wary about being at home alone.
Or in the OR.
Or in the OR.
Well, yes.
Right? But that's what this is about. So today's episode is scary stories of the operating room. And we've all had that at least once, if not twice, moment.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's start today with talking about superstitions. Because as we've talked over, you know, we've gotten to know people and we've had the opportunity to speak all over the country. And one of the things that we asked through social media in our interactions was, tell me some superstitions of the operating room. And the first one that comes to mind for me is, most hospitals do not have an OR 13.
Exactly.
So just like nobody wants to have surgery on Friday the 13th, no one actually wants to have surgery in OR 13.
Or on floor 13.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Because there's some superstitions attached to that.
Yes.
So while you may have a 13th OR, rarely is it labeled as such.
Yeah. I've never seen one. So there.
Absolutely. And of course, as we're recording this, I'm sure that our listeners, there's probably half of them out there going, Chris, you're wrong. I have an OR 13.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Don't have an operation in there.
No. No. And if you do have an OR 13, don't take me in there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So, Stephanie, what's another superstition that we OR people
have? The full moon.
The full moon.
Yes.
Y'all, it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. That was the time that we had the Gun and Knife Show in Knoxville.
Gun and Knife Show
in Knoxville? Gun and Knife Show.
Well, please do tell.
Oh, yes. So, we are working one evening. It was that brief moment that I worked 3 to 11.
Mm-mm.
And we get a call that we have multiple patients coming because they either tried to stab or shoot each other on a full moon.
Well, who needs friends when
you have enemies like that, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I think they ended up, I want to say it was 8 or 10 or 12 patients. I don't even remember. It's been too many years ago.
Good grief. So I wonder, did y'all have increased security? Because if you're operating on both gang members, how does that work?
I think we did have an officer that was stationed outside the OR just to make sure that.
Welcome to a level one trauma center.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So in full moon also, not only is it scary for us trauma people, but it's also a truly legit circumstance when it comes to labor and delivery.
Shout out to my labor and delivery piece.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We have so many stories, and I had a short term where I worked in labor and delivery.
I did as well.
Yeah. So full moon was a thing. You had crazy babies. You had moms coming in off the streets that did not have any prenatal care, or you had the baby where active labor was going perfectly fine until the sun went down, and next thing you know, alarm bells are ringing.
Oh, yes.
So incredibly scary.
Or you have crazy dads that lose their mind, and you have to escort them out of the unit.
Yes. Oh, so
yes.
sad.
Yes.
All right. So here's another one. Ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. We never say the Q word.
Absolutely. Ever.
Never, ever say, it's awfully quiet. Absolutely.
No.
And of course, the other word.
You know, it's kind of slow in here tonight.
No.
Why?
No.
And it never takes 5 minutes. Ever.
No.
And that phone rings and you're like, I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can just feel any of the veterans in the room, their eyes rolling in the back of their head.
Yes.
Because some newbie decided to open their mouth and ruin what could have been a really great lunch break.
Yes. There's nothing worse than ruining lunch break.
No. Absolutely. Talk to me, Stephanie, have you ever had a patient that looked at you, I don't care how routine the situation is, but your patient looks at you and they say, I'm scared I'm going to die today.
You know, I haven't had that happen. Well, I've had it happen to the nurse that was in my room, and the doctor immediately canceled the case.
Yeah. It sends heebie-jeebies.
However, I did have a family member. Not going to specify who because, you know, the HIPAA stuff.
Yeah.
But this particular family member was going in for a debridement of a wound and said that if they were going to have to amputate the wound or the extremity, then they would just as soon not be alive.
Uh-oh.
And the doctor made the comment, we have no choice. We're going to have to amputate.
While this family member is on the table.
On the table.
You're doing the debridement.
Under anesthesia.
It's so bad that
they're going to have to do the amputation. That was consented for prior to. And within seconds, the patient coded.
What?
My family member coded and died.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That is so scary.
It is. It was...
So I have...
I mean, it was sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as an OR person, you think, wow, this is why we never, ever disregard somebody that says they don't feel like they're going to make it out of the OR.
So yeah. I have a similar story. Not a family member, thank God. But I was in what we lovingly refer to as the butt hut one day.
Yes, absolutely.
I drew the short straw.
Right? Yes, the very short straw.
Very. So we're doing just a regular EGD colonoscopy, just shoveling them through. And this one lady, she was super scared, super nervous. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm scared I'm going to die.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm holding her hand and reassuring her we're going to take great care of her today.
You never say.
And you never say you're not.
You never say, oh, you're going to be just fine.
Right.
Because we all know better than that.
The universe will make a liar out of you in a heartbeat.
Every time.
No kidding. We did. We went through the throat before we went up the exit hole. And right when we're doing her colonoscopy, she codes. And we are so scary. Everything had gone textbook perfect.
Wow. But
she coded while we're doing her colonoscopy and she didn't make it.
That's so weird.
Right. And I was a super young scrub at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, that was a big life lesson.
Yes.
Don't ever, ever, ever take anything that your patient is going to say for granted.
Or take it lightly.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Let's get into some OR stories.
I'm scared already.
You should be. Yes. You should be. These are Halloween stories. We're going to use them as Halloween stories, but they're actual stories from operating rooms across the country and even overseas. Now, before we start this, I want everybody to be aware that the credits for all of these stories will be on the Scrub Life podcast website. These are not all original stories. However, there will be a couple mixed in here that will be original stories. So here we go. The first one we're going to talk about is the baby that lives in the operating room.
I need my blanket.
And this happened... you should. And this happened in Houston, Texas, where they were in a level one trauma center. There was a baby that passed away in the cardiac operating room.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and, you know, we all know that these things happen, but, you know, it is sad when it happens. But it's fairly rare. It doesn't happen often.
It is.
But this was a very tiny baby that had spent its whole life in the hospital. As you would expect, the staff was really broken up about it.
Sure.
And, you know, it was very hard. But ever since that happened, people could be walking by that operating room and they could hear faint cries and different things. And, you know, people tried to chalk it up to the ventilation system and different things, but they could hear faint cries, and sometimes they could hear a young child or a baby laughing. Like I said, they tried to mark it up as that it was the ventilation system, you know, the air vents rattling and things. Anything to for it not to be a ghost.
Exactly.
And they would, the nurses that were there, they would take kids that were coming in for surgery, and sometimes they would take them in that room and let them talk to the ghost.
Like play with the baby.
Like play with the baby and tell it stories. Sing lullabies and different things.
Were these patients on Versed?
They must have been. But then you're talking about kids too. We're talking about littles. We're not talking about adults. We're talking about little kids that they would take in there to play with the baby. And kids are very intuitive.
Yeah.
So they might sense.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe possibly even see.
Do you think that calmed them down before surgery?
Well, they said that it was, that it didn't bother these kids at all, and that they enjoyed. And they would even come back and ask to go and talk to the baby.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The answer's no.
Yes.
So I have a similar story.
Yes.
We reached out to our listeners and asked them about superstitions or scary stories that they themselves may have had. And someone responded with a baby story.
Ooh.
She works in a hospital. I'm not going to go into specifics, but they used to have a labor and delivery department. They no longer have that. They shut it down. So the two C-section ORs became just a part of the main operating room. One night, they had a horrible motor vehicle accident, and an entire family came in. The call team was there. The night shift was there. It was nuts. So they used one of these rooms that used to be labor and delivery. Unfortunately, there was a child involved, and they lost the child. They did all the things that you do after you lose a patient. You know, we never step away from the body. So she's in there. And of course, there are other operating rooms still going. They tag the patient.
The child.
Yes, the child. And all of a sudden, you know the lullaby that plays?
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Dude, I got goosebumps when she told me this story. The lullaby that anybody who works in a hospital.
Yeah, I worked in labor and delivery. I've heard it. Yeah.
So it's this gorgeous lullaby. It plays, and she, of course, freaks out like any
normal
person, right?
Yeah.
Person would. So she goes, she thinks somebody must have hit the button. Because there was a button to press for lullaby playing, and so they
outside the room, in the hallway.
Yeah, so they'd wheel the mom out who just had a C-section, holding baby. As she wheels past it, pushes the button, it plays, and it's a joyous occasion. So now she's like, "Who the hell pressed that button?"
Oh yeah,
she goes out into the hallway. Nobody's there. The other two operating rooms were still going.
Okay, now I've got goosebumps.
Right,
thanks.
Everybody is still in there. She was freaked out, but literally, that played.
Wow, that's bizarre.
I know. Can't wait for the next one. All right, Stephanie, in researching for this podcast, I came across a ton of Reddit threads, subreddits, which I didn't even know was a thing, sorry, but also blog posts. I found one called The Operating Room, and it was posted by cutiepie_OR.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? We're winning with the name big time.
Definitely.
But this is back from 2006. And of course, as you've already said, resource notes will be on the webpage if you want them. But let me read what she wrote.
Okay.
She said, "Have you ever felt eerie when you visit a hospital, a feeling that someone is watching you?"
Yeah, definitely.
Now it's Big Brother because there are cameras everywhere. But I have a feeling back then, maybe not the case.
No.
She goes on to say that she's a nurse, and she used to work in one of the oldest and most historic hospitals in Manila. And she was assigned to the operating room complex. I'm super excited about it. She said that the OR complex was divided into two distinct blocks. The right one was where all scheduled operations took place, whereas the left blocks then were reserved for like the emergency, trauma, and then OBGYN.
Right, because we gotta have OBGYN with trauma, right?
Exactly, exactly. Right? Yeah. So the whole complex was quite haunted, she says, and each block had its own collection of ghosts seen and felt by numerous nurses, residents, and surgical staff. So here's her story. It was one ordinary working day. She was assigned to the night shift. Night shift. Why do they always
night shift?
Yeah, they always come out at night. So going on duty from 10 p to 6 a the following day, she and her friend were discussing the presence of a ghost on our wing since she had seen one the night before. She was telling her friend that she had heard the voice of a little girl when I was assigned to the other block. She laughed and said that ghosts in that block were more aggressive. Oh, so you only want to get assigned to the block where the nice ghosts are.
Yeah, well, why would you want to be where the aggressive ghosts are?
I don't know. Maybe you need an adrenaline junkie, right? Like your coffee is not working.
Just give me a trauma.
So she said that many of those ghosts, they really were able to feel their presence because most of them had died from something traumatic, right? Like being stabbed or shot. But she said, so that night she went to enter the OR where she was assigned. She relieved a nurse from a previous shift. And as soon as she started assisting the surgeon in a cholecystectomy, one of them said, they talked about, you know, hey, what were you guys talking about last night? What happened? She said, we were just talking about the ghost she saw last night in room 11. And they asked if I believed in such things. And of course, she said no, which is like, you know, the challenge accepted ghosts.
Right.
So almost all the rooms are haunted. And they told me about their own eerie experiences in the same complex. So it was taking a while. X-ray was taking a long time to get there. So they continued to just start talking about this. And she broke scrub. She took her seat. And afterwards, she started to nod off. This is not the U.S. This is not an acceptable practice in the OR.
Correct. But right? It is 3 o'clock in the morning and it is very quiet. And all you hear are the beeping of the anesthesia machines.
Yeah. And you're waiting on X-ray.
And you're waiting amazingly on X-ray. That's such a shock.
Right?
Yes.
So suddenly she felt a cold hand or like a finger that touched her cheek. And she opened her eyes to see if maybe one of her colleagues was playing a trick on her, and nobody was anywhere near her. So she thought, okay, this is stupid. It's my imagination getting the best of me, moving on. But then as she fell asleep again, the presence, she said, was not satisfied in just touching her cheek. It became bolder and more intense. It nudged the chair she was sitting in. After this, she just stood up, fully awake, goosebumps in full force, scared to death. Again, looked for them, couldn't find it, but she never fell asleep during an OR again, right? So that's kind of crazy. And of course, you can read all of these people that are commenting, like, how dare you fall asleep in the operating room? I think they're missing the point that this is a ghost story.
This is a ghost story.
So here's another story from someone who added on to that. She said that she works in one of the oldest and biggest government hospitals in Davao City, and they had this one patient that needed to be extracted. They wanted to get a small amount of blood for a CBC. When the med tech went to that patient to do the procedure, the patient informed the med tech that blood had already been drawn by someone that she called a nurse just a while ago. And some patients didn't know at the time that the nurses in that hospital weren't allowed to do that procedure unless they were a licensed phlebotomist. And there wasn't a phlebotomist nurse in the unit at that time.
So who drew the blood?
Exactly. So to their surprise, they have seen the markings of a syringe needle on the AC, the antecubital part of the arm, with a cotton ball on it. And the patient described this nurse with a white long uniform with long sleeves and a white nursing cap. The staff then anticipated that it was a ghost of an old nurse way back years ago.
Okay, that's creepy.
Right?
Remind me never to go to that hospital.
Exactly. You know, there were a couple of other things, but then someone also had another comment. It said, he worked as security at one of the hospitals for about a year and a half, the 6P to 6A shift.
And
it's always at night.
Always at night. He had been told by several nurses that they had seen and heard things back there where his security office was. And so one night around midnight, he made his rounds. He went to the nurse's station to do some quick paperwork. He said there weren't any cases. He was the only one in like that part of the building.
Right.
But he said he had his back turned to the hallway where the ORs were, and he heard a scrub sink come on by itself. What?
Yeah.
He looked, but nothing was there, so he kept on doing his paperwork. At this point, he felt something pull on the back of his uniform. He stopped for a minute, but didn't turn around, decided to kind of ignore it, that maybe it was just some ghost wanting attention.
Right.
Then about 5 minutes later, he heard his name whispered loudly right into his ear. He said he was fine with ghosts and something being playful or moving things around, but when there was something that can't be seen or heard and it knows my name, he said, I drew the line.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm done.
I'd be done too.
Yeah. Well, I've got a similar story.
Okay.
So let's hear it. On trauma call one night in orthopedics, of course, because that's what I do best.
Some people.
And we had a place behind one of our rooms behind OR 22 called the tool shed.
The tool shed?
Yes. That's where we kept a lot of our extra instrument trays.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, orthopedics, yeah. We always have all the instruments.
All the trays.
And so I had gone back there looking for a particular tray and I couldn't find it. So I called somebody and I said, hey, do you know where this is? You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking somebody up. And they said, try behind 24, which is the haunted room. That's what I've always been told. That it was a haunted room.
Everybody has
a
haunted
room. Yeah, there's always one. And I mean, it's like a cubby hole.
Man.
And so I walked back there and I flipped the light on and I went in and the light goes off and I turned around and I walked out and I shut the door and I didn't go back and I went and found something else I could use instead. It's amazing how much you can improvise if you're not going back behind room 24 again.
Never.
Amazing.
Good grief. Yes. So last story for this segment. This person said that, you know, it's super common for hospitals to be haunted.
Well, of course. And I mean, how many people die?
I know, unfortunately,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the older the hospital is, the more spirits that reside right there. So now we're using common sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
This person said that they actually read of an incident in which a hospital had its emergency room department moved and said a lot of the spirits were confused as the old ER had, I assume, been torn down. A nurse there who could apparently communicate through ESP ushered all of the spirits to the ER's new location, their new home. Interesting. I'm fascinated by old hospitals. I really am. But the thought that someone would literally take spirits and move them to the new ER for a new haunting ground kind of freaks me the heck out.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. And the only thing I have is ESPN.
Yeah. The Vols are not involved in this story.
Dang.
I know. That's all right.
I tried.
Okay, Stephanie, so let's continue. There was an article published in 2016 that was a compilation of terrifying hospital ghost stories, right? Uh-huh. Absolutely, that scared them to death. The title of it, in case anyone wants to read it on our webpage, is 49 Real Nurses Share the Terrifying Hospital Ghost Stories That Still Scare Them to Death.
Wow.
So let's talk about this one, which is one of my favorites.
Okay.
All right, it's called The Vanishing Girl. She was a new nurse at our hospital and only had been working there a few months. And she goes on to write, I had brought a patient of mine up to day surgery from the ER for an endoscopy, and they called back down and asked me to bring her family up because she only spoke Italian and not enough English. They needed someone to consent for her for the procedure. So after dropping them off, I walked past the waiting room to head back down to the hall to the elevators. I took the back way to get to the ER, and the hallways are all deserted. It used to be the pediatric wing of the hospital, but that is all shut down for years, and the rooms are just empty, full of broken equipment and beds and crap. Verbatim.
Yes.
As I reached the old nurse's station at the T-junction between the pediatric hall and the hallway that goes to the elevators, I saw a little girl standing across from the nurse's station further down the hall. She had big pigtails, was wearing a brown dress, white shoes, holding a teddy bear. I thought perhaps she was a family member who had walked away from the day surgery waiting room, and she was concerned that she would go into one of the rooms and get hurt or lost. Right. So I said, "Hey, little girl, what are you doing? You don't need to be over there. You're going to get hurt." Right. And I walked around the nursing station to go grab her hand and bring her back. I shit you not, she vanished as I got about 15 feet away from her. And that's a quote.
And that would be the end.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Every hair on my body stood up straight, and I turned and I ran like a bat out of hell down the elevator. I pounded that button for what seemed like an eternity until the elevator got to the floor. As I got back to the ER, I walked up to the nurse's desk, white as a sheet, and one of the older nurses looked at me and said, "Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?" I remember babbling like an idiot as I tried to tell them what happened. After listening to me for a moment or two, the nurse said, "Oh, you saw the little girl ghost. She's been around here for years." And I remember saying, "Well, thanks for telling me about this before now."
It would be nice if it would be nice,
right? Hello. So apparently that ghost has even been seen down in the emergency room, ducking in and out of patient rooms and peeking around curtains. My wife worked up on the 7th floor, and she said that one time on nights, a whole row of patients' rooms started yelling about a little girl that was running around.
She was just having fun.
Chappa.
I know, right?
Okay, in that same kind of compilation of stories, there was another one, and it was titled, "Like the Dead Are Leaving the Hospital." I work in an intensive care unit at a small community hospital. We have a 9-bed unit that is completely closed off from the medical floor via 2 doorways. So 2 nights ago, they were all sitting at the station, charting as usual, when they heard footsteps coming down the hall. It's a completely open unit where you can see every room from everywhere. No one was in the unit with us. CT is below us and they closed at 5. And we only have people on the 2nd floor. The 3rd floor is used as storage, so no one was above them either. And this happened 2 or 3 times. Then last night, a cupboard door kept opening and shutting in 2 of the empty rooms. I finally asked my coworker, "What the hell is going on?" And she just told me that it usually happens after someone passes, especially if it was sudden. We had 2 codes last week that were lost, and I guess everyone has had weird stuff happening for a couple of days. Again, why didn't you tell somebody? Tell somebody.
And cause a girl to have a heart attack. Man. What the heck?
In the same area of that, though, you know, we have EKG machines that would just start to go off in our trauma rooms. And in fact, one of our listeners shared that she has one room in their hospital where the EKG would start to go and the vitals machines would start to make noises in the OR. But in this case, it would actually read a heartbeat. No one's in the room. Uh-huh, exactly.
Dude, I had that happen once, now that you've mentioned it.
What? See, nobody should do ortho trauma. Stephanie, that's why. Nobody should do ortho trauma.
I loved ortho trauma, though.
Yeah, weird things happen.
Best ever. Yeah, they do.
So we all have talked about different actual ghost stories, but did you know that there are some very, very haunted hospitals?
Really?
Not just in the U.S.
Just the whole hospitals.
The entire hospital. And we're going to talk about those next.
All right, guys, so let's talk about haunted hospitals. So this is from Austin Health. If you want to go and look at our sources, you can look for Austin Health. So it was close to Halloween when they wrote this article and they wanted to share their ghost stories. And they all revolved around stories about the gray nurse.
The gray nurse?
The gray nurse. She would come dressed in a gray nurse's uniform with a veil.
Oh,
no, I know, right? The first one, this was in the neurosciences building, cancer and neurosciences. Oh, no. And they were supposed to be 3 nurses that worked the shift on this particular floor. But this particular night, there was only 2.
And they had a patient who had paralysis due to MS. So she couldn't give herself a drink. She couldn't, you know, walk,
oh, bless
really
her heart.
Talk. She could talk, but not real well. And she suffered really bad from dry mouth. So the nurses made it a point to go in about every hour to give her a drink to help with her dry mouth.
Yeah.
Well, this particular night, it was extremely busy. And about 9:30, this particular nurse went in and filled her water jug. It was a liter water jug. Well, she got really busy after that, and it was several hours before she went back in.
Oh, no.
So she goes in to check on her and apologizes because she hadn't been in. But she notices that about half of her liter water bottle is gone.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, it's gone. And so she asked her, she said, oh, well, who has been coming around to give you water? She said, well, the other nurse. And so she goes, and there was only one other nurse that was a male. And she asked him, and he said that he hadn't been in the room. And so she said that she went back and questioned the lady and asked her again, said, who was it that gave you water? And she said, oh, it was the old agency nurse in the old-fashioned gray dress.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's my kind of ghost, though.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I need a ghost who comes and does laundry. I need a ghost who comes yeah. to dinner.
Exactly. And takes care of your patients.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They said she was always a very kind and considerate nurse, that she would take care of the patients.
Man.
Another story they said is that they were walking one night and the buzzer rang and a lady needed a bedpan. So the nurse on duty took it to her and told her to just buzz when she was finished. And she said she waited about, 10 or 15 minutes. And she walked back in and the lady was about half asleep with her curtain closed. And she told her that the other nurse in the gray uniform and the veil had come and made her comfortable so that she could rest and had taken her pan.
That is my favorite ghost
yes,
ever.
I know.
She even empties bedpans.
Yes, she even empties the bedpans.
Put her on the payroll.
Yes, and they said that they had heard many stories from patients
kindness.
About this gray ghost. Yes.
Man.
Many stories.
I'm so impressed. Yeah.
And on another note, I'll tell you one more of my ghost stories.
Where in the world have you worked, Stephanie? Honestly,
this was at the school.
God.
This was not in a hospital.
This was at your school?
This was at my school. And I was, this was my old office before we built our new building. And I was standing in my instructor's doorway. And she had her door propped open with a doorstop. Because we were on, you know, the automatic shutting doors. They had the tension things on the top.
Yeah.
And so we were standing there talking. And out of nowhere, her door started shutting.
Mm-mm.
And I looked at the door, and I looked at her, and she said, oh, that's just Debbie, the ghost. I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, Debbie visits us often. She said, drawers will open and shut. The doors will shut. Different things. So there were several times in my office that I witnessed Debbie opening my drawers or shutting my door.
No.
No, I really did.
No.
For real. And then, you know, we moved to a new building, and Debbie decided to come with me.
Did
she
you
still
have a nurse that has ESP that like
ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN.
Oh, yeah. No, but Debbie honestly followed me when we moved all of our stuff. Debbie followed me because see, we've got refurbished OR tables. So did she come with the table?
I don't know. Maybe
who knows?
She got strapped in.
Maybe she did. I don't know. Even though we've moved to a new building, I still have weird things where doors are shutting or my door will shut or drawers will shut that really shouldn't be shutting on their own or open.
You.
Weird things. Yeah,
no,
still.
Somebody needs
and her name, we named her Debbie. So
her
that's
Debbie.
Her name. Yeah, yeah.
Debbie needs to graduate and move home.
Yes, yes, she does. She needs to go on to the great beyond because she creeps me out.
She creeps everybody
yes.
out.
Exactly.
Well, good for the gray nurse.
Awesome.
Somebody apply for graduation
you know,
for Debbie.
At least if you're going to have a ghost nurse, at least she's kind
yeah.
and sweet to your patients and makes your patients comfortable.
And not yanking out their ET tubes.
And not yanking out their ET tubes or their feeding tubes.
Oh, my.
I know, right?
All right. We've got a few more in us.
We do.
Let's keep going.
We do.
So now we're going to go to the great city of New Orleans in Louisiana.
Yes.
Been there, done that, caught the COVID, bought the t-shirt.
Shared it with me.
Shared it with you.
Yes.
Moving on. But what I wanted to mention was a hospital that is considered incredibly haunted, and not in a good gray nurse way, but almost in a sense of demonic presence. And that is Lindy Boggs Hospital.
Yeah, leave it to New Orleans.
Exactly. Hurricane Katrina just destroyed most of the city, and this hospital was no exception. Although, before the levee broke, they had some superficial damage, but operations were just as normal. Everything was going well.
Considering. Right.
But once the levee broke, things definitely took a turn for the worse. The flooding overwhelmed the hospital's generators, the building lost power, and everything went haywire. In fact, the water pressure dropped and communication with the outside world was severed, so they didn't even understand the devastation that was around them. In that first night, 19 people died because they didn't have power. It was scary. Doctors and the patients over at Lindy Boggs were getting super desperate. Even food was running low. Waste and garbage was piling up. There wasn't any blood for transfusions, and they didn't have any power to operate the ventilators. So it was getting very drastic, and there were over 500 people just crowding into the lobby looking for help.
Oh, wow.
Massive devastation. All of these chaotic scenes mirrored what was happening in the city, and they knew they had to do something. So they started to devise a plan to actually evacuate the hospital. It says here in the article from New Orleans Ghost that over 15 people were stranded in the hospital, 300 of which were patients.
Wow.
So a few of the hospital staff, they started to wade across this like 5 foot deep floodwaters, and they went to hot wire boats to ferry them back and forth to Lindy.
Right.
Two grueling days this went on. And their DIY rescue efforts, they finally began to happen, but it was very scary because they had to make some difficult choices, right?
Who are they going to take?
Who? Exactly. Yeah. And in what order? So they decided that children and families were going to be evacuated first.
And this is like battlefield type decisions.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So some patients that were evacuated from the building didn't survive. In fact, 45 people died in the Lindy Boggs Medical Center during the evacuations.
That's so sad.
So there were also fires that began starting. Vagrants and squatters kept coming in. And ultimately, with however many people passed away, they decided that they couldn't just open the hospital doors again. But our residents demanded action. In fact, in 2013, there was a nonprofit that asked to renovate part of the building to open it like a small nursing facility. And they had cleanup efforts in 2017. Asbestos was removed, hazardous materials. It just goes on and on. But here's the kicker. It says here in this article from New Orleans Ghosts that the tragedy which took place in Lindy Boggs left an eerie aura hanging over the abandoned medical facility. And the vagrants and vandals that moved in totally didn't help. Dark hallways, dilapidated walls, leftover medical equipment. That meant there were plenty of hiding spots for lurkers, and it didn't take long till urban legends started to kick in.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Here's some of the strange occurrences. It said visitors claimed to see patients dying in their beds begging for help. Some have heard coughing and wheezing coming from empty rooms, and others have even heard the sounds of heart monitors beeping. We've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
There were apparitions of doctors and nurses scrambling across the hallway. Some have heard crying. Some have heard sobbing from family members. And others who have taken a stroll through the old hospital part, not the newly renovated in 2017, they have had more sinister encounters. In fact, blood-curdling screams and disembodied voices have been reported. Ready for this one? Floating orbs of light have been seen as well. And some people have even had invisible hands placed on their shoulders, phantom footsteps following them, and an urban explorer in the article claims to have been chased out of the hospital by a dark force, which he then described as having a demonic presence. I think I would have turned in my notice,
that day.
That would have been it. I wouldn't have turned in a notice.
You would have just... And gone.
And I'm out. Done.
I don't know. There's a difference between ghosts and demons. And neither one I want to meet on a cold, dark night.
In an abandoned hospital. In an
abandoned hospital.
No.
Not at all. I can't wait to hear what comes next.
We are going to talk about the Royal National Hospital in Ventnor in the UK. It was at the forefront of the tuberculosis outbreak.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands of patients were treated there. And, you know, kind of like we have been dealing with COVID for the last, 3 years?
Yeah.
Some of those patients weren't so lucky and didn't survive it. However, a lot of the experimental surgeries and things that were used to treat tuberculosis happened in this Royal National Hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's an important part to remember as we go through this little story. Okay. The last patient left in May of 1964. The hospital doors were ceremoniously locked.
Obviously not well enough.
Apparently not. 5 years later, the 11 blocks of balcony cottages, which stretched for almost half a mile, were demolitioned. And like a phoenix from the ashes, the Ventnor Botanic Gardens rose from the ruins.
Well, that's kind of a cool thing to do.
It is. They made a botanical gardens out of where the hospital was.
It's better than a parking garage.
We'll get to that.
Oh, no.
But the old hospital did not give in gracefully. It brought ghost hunters and psychic investigators to the area, because the hospital was said to be haunted. The psychic activity was centered very strongly in the operating theater.
Imagine that.
So when they went to tear down the operating theater, it wouldn't tear down.
What do you mean? It wouldn't tear down.
They made four attempts. They had four tractors, excavators, and a ball and crane that were all wrecked trying to tear down the operating theater.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. It was left standing while the rest of the hospital was reduced to rubble. They said that they had tried to knock it down with a crane and the ball.
Yeah.
But the steel cable snapped.
That's power.
Right. No, the steel cable on the crane.
Right.
With the ball. And it snapped. And it snapped.
Oh my.
And then they brought in the large tractor. Three huge pieces of masonry fell on it and demolished it.
Oh, my gosh.
Crushing the cab, the transmission, and breaking the steel tracks.
I wonder if the guy operating it was injured.
They didn't say that he didn't survive, so I'm assuming he did.
Lord.
But then they had a small caterpillar tractor with a steel that was made of steel.
Uh-huh.
And it was used to pull down the walls, but the hook and cable attachment on the back snapped.
Oh, my gosh.
And then another caterpillar tractor became entangled with the broken cable from the first attempt, and they gave up.
I was about to say, so now what do you do?
Yeah, so you just quit.
And you so don't they quit. Make a garden out of it.
Right. Well, no, that was the other part of the hospital. This was the part that they couldn't get to come down.
So they just left it.
Yeah, well, then after the rest of the hospital was a pile of bricks, the operating theater still held. And they could smell strong smells of ether in the area.
Which was used for anesthesia back then.
Yeah.
My gosh.
The workmen talked of openly seeing ghosts. Two men were told to demolish it with sledgehammers were confronted by a ghostly figure standing in a doorway. Needless to say, they didn't come back to work the next day.
Not today, Satan.
Nope. Not today, Satan. Exactly. The people in the area that live close to this hospital, they would hear moaning, weeping, and groaning at night coming from the site, even after it had been torn down. There was a 16-year-old who was doing demolition work and salvage work at the site. He said he never, ever forgot this job because these workmen, they do crazy stuff, you know, tearing buildings down and stuff, so they don't frighten easily.
Right.
But the ones that were at the Ventnor Hospital,
they always left the site well before dark.
Yeah.
Because of sightings of ghosts when it started getting dark.
My goodness.
Yeah. There again, when it would start getting dark, they would hear the ghosts moaning and groaning and making noises at the site. There was gray misty shapes that were flitting about the ruins of like wisps of clouds. Mm-mm. And they said the temperature around the hospital and around that site was very cool. And they said that things wouldn't grow there close to the where the operating theater was. They couldn't get anything to grow. And that it was always very, very cold.
My God, that's like the most stubborn, worst surgeon ever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And one of the people that were working there said that they always felt like there was something very wrong there. That it was like we were being watched all the time. And you could be running with sweat, but still feel icy cold. Oh. It was a bad place, even after it was pulled and leveled.
So they finally got it down.
Yes. But nothing would grow. No weeds, no grass, and it still felt cold.
So what did they put in its place?
A parking garage. They did. They put a parking garage. But John, one of the gentlemen that were one of the workers that pulled it down, said that there was often a ghost girl standing in the corner of the ward adjoining the operating theater. And she was about 10 years old and 4 feet tall. Her face and features were solid, and the rest of her was misty. And she would appear in the early mornings or late afternoons and stand there in the ruins, the ruined roofless building, staring at the workmen. And then she would just vanish into thin air.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Ghost hunters even went.
I can only imagine.
Yes, the ghost hunters.
How many episodes have been done.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The site was leveled and a car park built over the top. So a parking garage. But the weird things continue to happen. The council surveyor peering through his car saw the ghost of two Victorian nurses pass in front of his vehicle. Huh. The former hospital became a magnet for ghost hunters and students of the supernatural, who came from all over the world to try to discover its secrets. News of the hauntings even reached American comedian Dick Van Dyke.
Really?
Yes. Who was intrigued. He was intrigued by the stories that he had several lengthy transatlantic telephone talks with Roy Doerr about the happenings there and featured them on his popular TV show in the States.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you would never put two and two together. Like,
right?
Van Dyke and how funny and lighthearted that is.
Yeah.
And his obsession with
right
this super scary
oh, yeah
hospital.
And the local clergy, mm-hmm. they did an exorcism of the site.
Well, rightfully
and
so.
Even after the exorcism, the ghosts continued to make their presence felt. A 4-inch thick armor plated power cable buried in a trench running across the operating theater site suddenly stopped functioning. Cutting off the power to the Garden Tavern. Why in the world would a ghost cut off power to the bar?
Oh my God, especially what's after wrong with scaring that? Them. They need
exactly,
a drink.
They need a drink. When the trench was opened, electricity board workers found the thick cable had been neatly chopped into 2 feet, 6-inch lengths. How it was done and by whom was never discovered.
Oh my.
They were just cut. They were just cut.
Perfectly into that measurement.
2 foot, 6 inch.
Wow.
One of the engineers replacing the cable suffered a nasty shock, but it wasn't from an electrical source.
No.
Yeah, they have no idea where it came from.
You couldn't pay me enough to do anything.
No. While using the nearby toilets situated in a block converted from the hospital shop, he glanced up to see a ghost sitting on the top of the toilet watching him. Yeah, he came flying out of there with his trousers undone, jumped into his van and left, and never came back.
Can that be a ghost hunter rule? Like, number one, don't go to haunted places at night.
And number two,
don't go pee
don't
in
go
places
pee.
That are haunted.
No, that's you're just asking for
super
it.
Super vulnerable.
Yeah, you're just asking for it. With a car park surfaced over the parking garage,
uh-huh.
new visitors now realize there was... They now never realized there was a hospital there. But the old operating theater still exerts a malign and disturbing influence.
Oh.
Some dogs grow agitated, refusing to walk across that area of the parking garage, and unusually high number of accidents happen there. If a kitty falls down and cuts a knee, or someone trips and sprains an ankle, it will always be in that area, one of the locals said. Even today, with it being a parking garage and the hospital's torn down, the ghosts are still there.
Well, teach you to walk. Take the bus.
I know, right? Yeah.
Super scary. Our last hospital that we're going to talk about might actually look familiar to many of you, even though you didn't know the name of it. Did you watch Outbreak? Or the movie End of Days, maybe Pearl Harbor, even the pilot episode of ER. What do these all have in common? They are all shot inside Linda Vista Hospital in Los Angeles, California.
I didn't know that. Cool.
The hospital, let's see, was opened very early in 1937, and it became a very popular place for people to go to include the gangs of East LA. And so in the 70s and 80s, unfortunately, they experienced a lot of gun and knife violence, stabbings throughout the ER, and the neighborhood that the hospital's located in was just getting worse and worse, as was the survival rate of the patients that were admitted. This increase in poor, uninsured patients, it definitely took its toll on the hospital. And in 1988, Linda Vista even stopped accepting ambulances into their ER. But thanks to Hollywood, the only thing that saved this hospital from shutting down was the fact that its interior was used in all of these different Hollywood productions at, I'm sure, what was a pay cut.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But I mention that because during these productions, the hospital's haunted reputation definitely grew. And there were reports of unexplained phenomenon that came from overnight security, always overnight, and production crews. And this is all according to a Travel Channel article called Linda Vista's Haunted History. Of course, you can find that in our show notes on our webpage. Darting shadows, cries in the night, unexplained humming. These were all experienced by those working on the Linda Vista grounds, and it said that many claimed to have even been touched or pushed by things that could not be seen. The reputation of three individual spirits in particular had been cited on multiple occasions. First of all, there was a little girl that lurked around in the surgical areas and the ORs.
Why is it always the kids?
Always the kids. Ugh. A young woman would pace the hallway on the third floor.
Labor and delivery.
Exactly. Always. The ORs on two, ERs on one, ORs on two, L&Ds on three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then there was a spirit of an orderly that was still making his daily rounds.
Nice.
Wouldn't it be interesting to have caught one of those spirits on an episode of ER or one of those movies? Yeah.
Maybe the spirit would get it right on how to do the job.
Maybe the spirit wouldn't have hair tendrils falling out.
True.
And would actually wear eye protection.
Exactly.
In doing all this research and finding out all of this amazing information about hospitals, operating rooms, and the experiences of our colleagues in the OR and in different areas of the hospital, I wanted to share something that I thought was really cool that we should end this podcast episode on. So in all of this, there is a poem by Sylvia Plath, and it's entitled Tulips. And it speaks specifically about the hospital as a house of ghosts. So we're going to end with that tonight. It says, the tulips are too excitable. It is winter here. Look how white everything is, how quiet, how snowed in. I am learning peacefulness, lying by myself quietly. As the light lies on these white walls, this bed, these hands, I am nobody. I have nothing to do with explosions. I have given my name and my day clothes up to the nurses and my history to the anesthetist and my body to the surgeons. How many of our patients have made that sacrifice and still visit the halls we work in today?
Wow.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Scrub Life podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and share. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Scrub Life podcast. Show notes for this episode, as well as past episodes, our contact information, and the virtual suggestion box can be found at our webpage, thescrublifepodcast.com. This has been Chris Blevins and Stephanie Austin with the Scrub Life Podcast. Until next time, be safe, support each other, and stay sterile.